So, what I want to encourage everybody to realize that many of you maybe have been at churches all your life where the prominent gift of the church was pastoring, which is wonderful and essential, but it can't fully mature you as a Christian. You cannot fully mature as a Christian under just the pastoral gift, the pastoral anointing. There are other gifts in the body, obviously the teacher. Most pastors are obviously good teachers, at least they should be. Then, of course, there's the evangelist. The evangelist is another gift to the body, not just to win the lost, but to mature Christians. And then there's two other gifts in the body of Christ that... come fill up a gap for me, would you? Someone, there's a few gaps here. Thanks, Brandon. I want to see your face this morning. There's a couple of other gifts that most churches don't acknowledge, and that's the gift of the apostle and prophet. Of course, a lot of traditional churches would tend to think that they died out, you know, a couple of thousand years ago, which they obviously didn't, because they wouldn't be mentioned in the book of Ephesians if they had. The Bible actually says that the foundation of the church is upon the apostle and prophet. So think about it. If there's no apostles and prophets, what kind of church do we have? So the apostle and prophet, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, says is the foundation of the church with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, I'm sure you all know in the days of building, in the ancient days of building, they would have a cornerstone that would be exactly laid and everything would come off of that stone. So there's Jesus, the apostles and the prophets, and then boom. We have a confirmation of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when Paul said, I am a wise master builder. Now you be careful how you build upon it. So this is the essence when Paul would be saying things like 2 Corinthians 1:24 when he would say, I've got no dominion over your faith. I'd like to remind all of you, it is impossible to live your relationship with Jesus Christ vicariously through someone else. Do we all know what the word vicarious? I used to think that was those veins in the back of my legs. And then somebody told me it wasn't that. Vicarious means that I am living my relationship through somebody. Pretty much. So therefore, let me say it again. I've often said kind of things like, this is not your mother's church. Reason being is you can't get to heaven on your mother's faith. You can only get to heaven on your faith. These are important things to reality. We talked about last week, if you weren't here, I preached a message called True Faith. And I'd recommend there are some CDs downstairs. Please pick them up. I got a bit punchy, but sometimes you have to do that when there's a lot of tradition binding people's minds. So this week I'm preaching a message called Your Faith. And I'm here this morning to teach you and convince you as much as is within my ability to understand you have faith and it's your faith that counts. It doesn't matter whether you go to the greatest church in the world. You could go to, let me think, T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes, one of my favorite preachers in America. He has a great church of thousands of people down in Texas. It doesn't matter, you can go down there every week and shout and hoot and holler with T.D. Jakes, man. It won't help you one bit until you get your faith in operation, right? You cannot please God with someone else's faith. You can only please God with your faith. And that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. But the reason why I mention the apostles and prophets is because over the years, I started preaching full-time in 1982. I preached before that, but I actually launched into our own ministry in 1982. And in the 40 countries that I've ministered in and the 300 or 400 churches I've preached in, several hundred pastors have called me a prophet. So after several hundred pastors call you a prophet, you kind of accept it. You know, like after Tiger Woods has put a few jackets on, he has to say, yeah, I can play golf. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just a reality that we need to handle. So, just now in the discipleship school, I preached as a prophet. The reason I'm saying that is I stood up with no stinking idea what I was going to say and just went for it. Now I'm going to preach like a teacher. And I'm going to teach this morning. And the best way for you to respond to teaching is to make notes, open the Bible that's in front of you. You actually remember 10% more if you make notes. You actually remember another 10% if you read them again. And remember that church isn't like school, so therefore at school, most of you went to school, and you passed the class and then forgot everything you learned in the class because all you wanted was the degree. Because all you wanted was the job. You didn't even want the degree. And somebody help me this morning. You wanted the job. You wanted the career. You wanted the wages. So therefore, the bottom line was you passed for money. Come on, somebody help me here. You passed for money. So, of course, that's going to do you a fat lot of good with God. So that's why I would encourage some of you to get a hold of some of this. Get a hold of the, I'd say the most important subject in the Bible, which is faith. Faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. You can go out there with Patrick at Fan Squared and you can carry furniture all you like to as many people as you like. And you can help with the food and the clothes and everything else that we give away from this church. And I want to tell you, it will not profit you one bit until you do it by faith. Now, Patrick, that's a classic example. Patrick, everybody that's been working with him, people like Charlie and Gary and a few, they're not here. They were here last night. We have a Saturday evening meeting at 6:30. Andy is another one. He was saying, you know what, Vaughn? He said, after a few months or a few weeks of helping me, they come back and they say, I get it. I get it. Now I understand what you're doing. You see, it isn't delivering furniture. It is ministering to Jesus Christ by faith. And Pat knows that. That's how we built such a good ministry, because he's doing it by faith. And until you do anything by faith, I preach by faith. My faith and my confidence is in what I'm preaching, not the smart aleck with the mouth, of which I am, and not ashamed of it. Yeah, I wish a few more people were persuaded. Yeah, I'm telling you. Remember when Paul stood before Agrippa? And Agrippa said, Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. In other words, the ball hit the post and bounced out. And he's going to hell because he's almost persuaded. And it's no good. You can be fully persuaded of your salvation and almost persuaded Jesus is a healer. You can be fully persuaded that Jesus is a healer and almost persuaded that he's a provider. You can be fully persuaded that he's a provider and almost persuaded that he wants to reconcile all of your relationships. And until you are fully persuaded, it ain't going to happen. Are you with me now? So most Christians actually are only got hope. What is the difference between hope and faith? Hope knows God can do it. Faith knows God will do it. That's it, guys. Right there, I could go now and have a cup of tea, and I'm done. Hope is knowing God can. We all know God can heal. We all know God can part the Red Sea, right? We all know God can provide for a couple of million people for 40 years in the way. We all know he can do it, but do we know he will do it for me? So until you know that, you don't have faith. Are we okay? Now, you've all got faith for heaven, which is the hardest thing of all. Everything's easy after that, for God's sake. I mean, you honestly believe you're going to go to heaven for the rest of, forever, right? So how come you can't believe the rest of it? That's the hardest one to believe. If you think of it, you mean to tell me you're going to spend the rest of your forever, like millions, billions of years with God? Yeah. Oh, but you can't believe it and pay your bills. Anyway, think about that. It's true, until God has got your wallet, he has not got the whole man. I'd like to remind you that this is the demonstration of strength in America. You must remember that the people in the Bible, their demonstration of strength normally manifests physically. You know, David killed Goliath or his mighty men, and Shamgar killed 600 men with an ox goad. That's a pretty tough dude to only get one verse in the Bible, eh? Shamgar, do you remember Shamgar? Have you heard of Shamgar? It means one verse in the Bible. And Shamgar killed 600 men with an ox goad. If you don't know what an ox goad is, it's a stick. And Shamgar killed 600 men with a stick. Whoa. Good morning, Mr. Shamgar, sir. What would you like in your tea, sir? Can you imagine that? But our might is wrapped up in this. So because of the deception of finances in our nation, i.e. we are the most indebted country in the world, therefore we're obviously culturally deceived. Right? Because we are actually a weak nation. We're a weak culture because we've made this our strength. So if you... There's a lot of money in that, so don't let it go. Especially in that credit card. I've got two credit cards in there worth about 25 apiece. So you move and you are doomed. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I know who I got up there quick on the finger. It's Daniel Ray, the best in the business. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 1 and 3, and I'm going to read from the New International Version, even though we have the New King James behind us. First thing we do, before anything else, is close our eyes. Let's say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Holy Spirit coming to me now. My teacher, my guide, and by faith, I understand. By faith, I understand. Amen. Hebrews 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Does everybody know the definition of fear and faith? Some don't. Here it is again. The definition of faith is something you believe is going to happen. Excuse me. Something you cannot see but believe is going to happen. Is that good? Faith, something you cannot see but you believe is going to happen. Fear, something you cannot see but you believe is going to happen. Faith, something you cannot see but you believe is going to happen. Fear, something you cannot see, but you believe is going to happen. Exactly the same definition. So our entire lives are based on those two main factors. You're either in faith or you're in fear. Now the good news is God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a... Okay, sound mind. Sound mind. By faith, we understand. Sound mind. A double-minded man is? In how many ways? In how many of his ways? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Not some of them, all of them. So we're either faith-orientated or we're fear-orientated. Fear is not something you were born with. It's something you learnt. You learnt fear. Oh, don't do that! Ah! Guess who was your main teacher of fear? I never said that. That's because it's Mother's Day. I've seen it numerous times, how we teach our children fear. Oh, don't eat that. It's been on the floor. It's been on the floor. okay, that means the floor is poisoned. That means everywhere I walk is poisoned. Well, Jesus said everywhere you put your foot, he's going to give it to you for possession. Just to give you an idea of some of our thought patterns, how they can be so far away from the promises of God. Okay, now faith is. I need to say this very emphatically. Faith is not something you're going to have tomorrow. Faith isn't something you're going to have in 10 minutes. Faith is something you're going to have now. Now, the book of Hebrews very clearly teaches in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and I'm in the book of Hebrews now. It says, today, somebody say today. It says, today, if you hearken to my voice and harden not your heart as in the day of the rebellion. He's talking about Moses and all that lot right in the desert. He said, today, if you hearken to my voice. It says it five times in the book of Hebrews. So therefore, what we need to... Let me just say something right now, and I've got to turn my back and say this. Grab my wallet, please. Last night, there was a tremendous spirit of slumber came over some people while I was teaching this. And as one guy said, you know, I understand how irritating it is when people are yawning in your face. I don't mind if it's my wife when we both got a head in the pillow. That I can handle. But I'm saying this. Faith is a spirit. And the number one spirit that attacks your faith is the spirit of slumber or laziness. All right? Now, if you can't pay attention for 31 minutes to a guy that some people think is a reasonably good teacher, then I want to consider this. Consider what I'm saying right now. If you're watching Discovery Channel, how much would you yawn if they were teaching some subject you liked? There is no subject in the world more important than faith, and there is no attack stronger in the spirit world than attacking your faith. What's the best way to fall asleep? Read the Bible. Come on. Huh? What is the number one thing you can't remember on the planet? Scriptures. Because it's a spirit that attacks you. Plus you add to it with your confession. Oh, I can never remember scriptures. No, by faith we understand scriptures. By faith. Faith is not an academic ability. Engineering's an academic ability. Math is an academic ability. You know, all these things are academic abilities. Being a mechanic, being a lawyer, being a doctor, being whatever. That is an academic ability that you have to stay awake to do. Am I correct? Yeah. Right? If you sleep through every one of the lectures at college, you're going to get an F. Right? A D if you're brilliant. You got me? But when it comes to church, we have such a... You know why we don't give God our first fruits? And you need to give God the first fruits of your mind. The first fruit of your mind. That sound mind he gave us. I'm going to teach you this morning. You ready? Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now fear is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I'm telling you, it's the same definition. So faith. Now, first thing I want to say this is faith conceives now but manifests later. Mary was the first believer, right? Mary, Jesus' mother. She said, let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be unto me according to your word. What happened? The Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she conceived. Are we okay? The Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she conceived. And then nothing happened for 9 months. Nothing happened. Remember we had this discussion before about what are you believing for, a mouse or an elephant? Well, if you're believing for a mouse, you should get it within 3 weeks. If you're believing for an elephant, it'll take you a couple of years. Right? After the conception, after today, when I believe. So, therefore, we have to jump over to Hebrews chapter 6, I believe. Daniel, are you there? Hebrews 6. Yes, Hebrews 6. This is really nice. I'm going to hammer a few people this morning, and if you're guests here, I have got nothing but your soul in mind. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance to the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay, thanks, Daniel. Right, the first thing I'm going to read now from the New International, the same scripture says, we want each of you to show this same diligence. Somebody say diligence. Diligence. Diligence means you get up in the morning, you get washed and dressed and you go to work, and you get to work on time, and you do your job, and at the end of the week, you get your paycheck. Diligence. And then you study in that subject, and you do some night school. You read books. You go online. You Google the subject you want to learn about. And you keep learning and learning and learning that subject. And you apply what you learn to your work, and you get a promotion. And you get a raise. And that's why the Bible says the hand of the diligent shall rule. Now, when it comes to faith, we either think you've just got to hear it once, or somebody's got to lay hands on you, and you got it. Not. We don't get up early in the morning and diligently seek God. For, Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those that come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you don't diligently seek him, you don't get the reward. We okay? Does it all make sense? You sure now? Have I offended a lot of people yet, or just a few? The gospel is an offense, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I am preaching the gospel, and I know this to be true. I've lived it a long time. Okay, let me say it again. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, let me say this, brothers again, and sisters. You get up in the morning, and you go to work. And you lean upon your skills and your giftedness and your education, and you go to work. And you earn that money, that income, and you come home. And you give it to your wife and pay the bills, and your kids get it, and they go to school and they get an education. And you're doing it out of your giftedness, and you're doing it out of your education, and you are not doing it by faith. So you are not pleasing God. So what makes you think you're pleasing your wife if you're not? How can you be pleasing your wife if you're not pleasing God? Can somebody help me with that thought? If you're not pleasing God, obviously, it's impossible that any other relationship can be right. Isn't it? Isn't that just logic? If you're not pleasing God, if you're not diligently seeking him and getting his reward, then what are you giving your kids and your wife and every other relationship? You're giving them your own strength. That's what you're giving them. You're giving them this. But this is not the answer. I thank God that my, you know, growing up, we were stinking poor, weren't we, man? I mean, spiritually growing up. You know, when you're a missionary for 22 years traveling the nations of the world, you've never really got too much spare change. I probably couldn't even fill up a baby bottle. You do that for 22 years with a wife and five children and a mother who schlepped along for almost every trip. I'll interject this, because it's Mother's Day. I'd like to tell you again that from when my mother retired at 62 years old, which there's not too many in here who are older than that, when she retired at 62 years old, from that time, she's been five times to Africa, five times to Israel. She's been to China, Australia, New Zealand. She went to New Zealand on her own, for God's sake. When my wife and I and five kids went to Australia, she came with us, traveled the whole time there with us for 4 months, and then decided, because she met somebody who had a sister in New Zealand, and said, well, you can go over and visit her if you want. She said, okay, and jumped on a plane and went to New Zealand for 2 or 3 weeks, traveled the North and South Island, met every kind of person you want, even stayed with an all-black rugby player, which drove me insane. Well, she was young then. She was only like 76, weren't you? I think you did that. Just a young woman then. She's 92 now, by the way. So where was I? 5 times to Africa, 5 times to Israel, China, Australia, New Zealand, 21 times to America on her own. Now, I'm saying this because she's a widow. She was widowed when she was 42 years old. And she lives on a pension like everybody else. And I'm only saying this because I have no idea what everybody else's excuse is. You know why she does it? She does it by faith. Are you with me? She does it by faith. Now, let me get back to faith. If you're not diligently seeking God, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Going to church, and you're not going to church by faith? That's why a lot of people get fed up with churches. You don't go to church by faith. Now I've gone and kept the cat out of the bag, haven't I? Church is a revelation. You remember when Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, he said, I went up to Jerusalem by revelation. Anybody remember that? He said, I went to Jerusalem by revelation. Now, as a Jew, he would have gone to Jerusalem 3 times a year by law. But suddenly, he goes to Jerusalem by revelation. How many of you are still going to church by law? How many of you are still reading your Bible by law? How many of you are still praying by law? How many of you are doing godly things by law? Therefore, you're not doing by faith. Therefore, you're not pleasing God. Therefore, as you're not pleasing God, you cannot be pleasing your spouse. You cannot be pleasing your kids. You cannot be pleasing the people you work with. You cannot be pleasing anyone because you're not doing it by faith. Are we okay? I've got to go on this because I said something about this last night. If you are not disciplining your children by faith, that's why they're still disobedient. And you can't discipline them your way by faith. You can only discipline them God's way by faith, which is with a rod. There's no other way. The hand is designed to bless. Occasionally I break that one with him. The hand is designed to bless. The rod is designed to discipline. It's what God said. Why do you keep disagreeing with Him? Why do you keep being the smart aleck that knows how to raise kids better than God who's raised billions of us? Ah! Sorry, I had to do that. I don't know. Is this really annoying you this morning? Or is it making sense? I want to tell you. Hey, listen to this, what we can do by faith. I love this. I said this last night, and I'm going to make no apologies for it. Hebrews 11. Where is it? It's in this computer somewhere. It's on the reading program. Who's got the reading program? Give me one. You've all got them. They're in the... Thanks, hon. If you read this every day, right, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you really help you solidify what I'm talking about. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 11, 32 through 40 talks about what faith can do. Listen to this. And I'm going to insult some of you now, okay? So be ready. In fact, I'll turn around and give you a few seconds to walk out. And I won't be embarrassed. Hebrews 11, I'm not sure what verse, I think it's verse 32 or in there, but it says this, it's written there, scripture highlight, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Next verse. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Go back a verse. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now, I've got to say this because I said it last night, and I need to be fair. I will say this, parents. I've watched you for many years. I've watched this country. How do you expect to subdue kingdoms when you can't subdue your own children? And the answer is, you're not doing it by faith. Most of us discipline our children when we've lost control and get angry and you're beating them, instead of doing it by faith. So therefore, I'm going to say to you, how is your marriage? How are your children? How are your finances? Have you subdued that by faith? If not, get started. By faith. By faith, believing that God knows better than I do how to be a good husband. God knows better than I do how to be a good wife. God knows better than I do how to have sound finances. He knows better than me. So when I exactly do what the word says in faith, it works. But I've got to do it in faith. Okay, are we all right? I know I've offended a few of you, but it's the truth. And if you want to be free, I don't even want to repeat this thought. God, if I don't, am I going to be disobedient? Oh, man, who wants this job? You know, when people get married, what are you thinking when you get married? What are you thinking? What are you thinking is the purpose of all this? Right, rule number one when you get married, don't get married unequally yoked. Rule number one. Rule number two, don't forget rule number one. Rule number three, if you forgot rule number one, there is no rule number four. Because you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to sort rule number one out. You can laugh. You're both single. One day you'll stand on a place like that, and I'll say, "Do you take this woman?" And then you better remember what I'm saying right now. Okay. What's the first thing we do when we get married? We focus all our attention on each other. I mean, what the heck's that all about? First thing you do when you get married is make a decision together. If any two on earth agree, is touching anything you ask, and you make a decision for the rest of your life, you're going to focus your entire life on Jesus and his kingdom. And if you don't, you're back to rule number one, because you're not equally yoked. So by faith, you can subdue kingdoms. By faith, you can close the mouth of lions. By faith, you can move mountains. By faith, you can do anything. Now, let's talk about your faith. Did we go to Romans 6:11? Let's get back there a second. Romans 6:11 and 12. We talked about laziness, remember? We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. I'm reading from the NIV. In order to make your hope sure, we do not want you to become lazy. The NIV says lazy. Let's handle this reality, folks. The reason why we are not living what Jesus gave us at Calvary and the resurrection is because we have lazy souls. Come on, folks. How many hours a day do you read the Bible compared with just listening to music or watching TV or DVDs or reading magazines? How many hours a day are you putting the Word of God into your soul? Right? So when your soul becomes rich, do you know what happens? You know you can tell what's in a person's soul? And when you tread on their foot. Or something similar. Because when you tread on their foot, what comes out from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look at Ashley laughing at me. Right? So you tread on their foot or some equivalent, cut them up in the road, whatever. And they go, wah, 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 abundance of the heart. Well, you got too much word in there today, everybody. Huh? Your wife says something you don't want to hear. Oh, how's the word doing? All right. Oh, you've been lazy today. Oh, okay. Okay. No, I'll let you off. You're just lazy. That's all right. So you're not diligently seeking God. Ah, so you're not pleasing him. Ah, because you're not pleasing your wife. Ah, you're not pleasing your kids. You're not pleasing anybody. So why don't you get a bag? And anyway. Now listen, I know you're not going to forget what I'm saying. The delivery may be a little unorthodox, but the point's coming across. The point is coming across. Faith is not a magic wand. You've got to get last week's message for what true faith is. It's not a magic wand. It's not a wish list. It's not Santa Claus. It's not knock on wood. It's not keep your fingers crossed. It's not good luck. It's not, oh, bless you. That ain't faith. That's foolishness. So, okay. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Okay, here we go. Let's touch on this. Right. As an American, that's my favorite, one of my favorite lines in my life. Us Americans. With this accent, it sounds so much better than when you say it. Us Americans have faith. We are a faith nation. In my experience, which is pretty diverse, all the 72 countries I've been to, I would say America is possibly the faith nation of the world. Well, it was up to this millennium. Let's hold that thought. So, interesting thought. Up to this millennium, America was the faith nation of the world. But the Bible says, with faith and patience, you inherit the promises. Now let's get back to that statement. I would say America is the most faith-filled nation in the world and the most impatient. So therefore, because the Bible doesn't say with faith and drive-through windows, you inherit the promise. We haven't got the promises. Come on, folks. You need to respond to that. It's because we are a faith-filled people. Now, come on. Nowhere in the world is there a nation that says, you can do it. There's no nation in the world like this. You ever read a book on Abe Lincoln? Come, mate, if ever there was a guy born to fail, it was him. Huh? Born a dumb, dirt, poor farmer. Every reason to feel sorry for himself, be steeped in self-pityness until he could just go into oblivion through his own gloom. But no, he was an American, so he became president instead. Yeah, that's what this country is. You can't do that. You could do that nowhere on the planet last century or the century before. You could do that nowhere in the world when Abe Lincoln went from a dirt poor farmer to the president of the United States. The United States was the only country in the world that was possible. If you don't know that, good morning. David, you're a historian. Wouldn't you agree with that? You think about it. The guy, Abraham Lincoln, was a moron. The child of a moron. Broken home, poverty, every excuse. He could have been living in the Hudson Valley. And I'm glad you're laughing, because some of you need to repent. Because we live in excuses. Why? Because we've let fear take over our faith. And Abe Lincoln became president. When I read that book about his child, I thought, what? How that? Did you read that bit about when he got attacked by river pirates? God, him and a buddy on a barge going down the Mississippi. He was like a teenager. Seven guys jumped him. And he beat him off with a big stick. See, I told you that's what sticks are for. Yeah, talk about walk softly. It wasn't him who said it. I know it was that other maniac. That's what I love about this country. You can have maniacs for presidents as well. Old Teddy Bear. He was insane, man. I don't care what you think. That guy was Looney Tunes. He's one of my favorite presidents. What am I talking about, Vaughn? Help me. Now, Vaughn doesn't work. Lord, help me. Okay. There you go. We don't have patience. Come on, we're Americans. We don't have patience. We don't have patience. Are you teaching your kids patience? I want it. No. I want it. No. I want it. Well, I've seen you do it. There we go. Remember I talked about faith has to conceive? Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11:11. Hebrews 11:11. This is a beautiful verse, man. Look at that. By faith. Somebody say, by faith.
By faith.
Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. You see that? Now, this is really one of the major points I'm going to make today. Listen. Some of you are too weak to conceive, right? Now, Sarah was, what, 75 years old? She'd been past the stages of life. She had no more cycles and nothing, right? She was barren, had been barren for 75 years. That is as barren as a person can get. Actually defies, which is why it's such a praise God. Okay. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. And she bore a child when she was past the age. Why? Look at this. Because she judged him, not Abraham. She judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. So therefore, she waited 25 years. What was it that long? Whatever. 15 probably. So try and think about this. Abraham, what? You're going to be the father of many nations. Okay. Now, he didn't understand that. Come on, folks, stay with this thought. He didn't understand that. By faith, he believed God. By faith, he understood. Are you with me? Why do you think he's called our father of faith? By faith, he understood. Okay?
That's all God told him at that time. So that was a lot of help, wasn't it? So he continues to live by faith. God even changed his name to Father of Many Nations, changed Sarah's name to Princess. So I want you to see this, that once God speaks, he conceived now. Now faith is. You got it? He conceived it. God spoke. The word spoke. He said yes. But now he had to have patience for the promise. And this is where we come down. Let's say, for instance, okay, take diabetes, because I know some of you got diabetes. I've not defeated diabetes, so I'm not really prophesying according to my proportion of faith. But to beat diabetes, you have to believe God for a long time. But it has to start by you believing he can. You see, as long as God says, I am the Lord God that healeth thee, and you say, yes, but I've got diabetes. Yes, what was that next bit? But. You got the but, your but in the wrong place again. So now hear it the other way around. I have diabetes, but God is able. Now, I don't know how long it will take, because you're now trying to birth an elephant. You see what I'm saying? But if you can hold fast to a good confession, if you can believe God, if you can feed that belief, how do you do it? Jesus said, John 6:63, the words that I speak, they are spirit, and the words that I speak, they are life. And I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. So until you begin whatever promise God has given you, feed it. Feed it. Feed it. Feed it. Hold fast to a good confession. My God will supply all my needs. My God will supply all my needs. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I've sown, I've been faithful, I've paid my tithe, I've sown my seed, I've given my offerings, I've given alms. Therefore, I will bear a harvest. I will. God promised. So I'm going to close on this thought. Close on this, and it's a word I got last night, is the biggest enemy in your life is Agent Orange. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. So, let's just use debt for an argument, right? Because the vision of this church is to get everybody out of debt. That's why we're going through the Cram Financial course. To get everybody out of debt. If you do it God's way, it will happen. I promise. You do your own thing. Don't blame me or God, okay? Right. So, God's going to get me out of debt. I receive that seed now. Tomorrow, I get my bills. Oh, no. Oh, God, what's it? We're never going to get this paid off. Agent Orange. Agent Orange. You put Agent Orange on the seed. But yesterday you believed God could do it. Today you said never. Are you with me? If you don't hold fast to the promises of God, if you don't hold fast to a sound confession, if you don't realize that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the Lord Jesus. And it's a very simple process. And I've got to give just close on these. I'm just going to read them to you quickly. All right? Trust me, I'm going to let you go then, because I know you all look bored to life. I could keep going on this subject till Thursday, as long as I had some tea. Thursday. Right, by faith we understand. Scroll down now. You know, you have to give yourself a few instructions. But Jesus turned around when he saw her, woman with the issue of blood, and said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Then he touched the eyes, blind Bartimaeus, and said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Not your mother's faith, not the pastor's faith, not God's faith, not Jesus' faith, not Paul the Apostle's faith, not T.D. Jakes' faith, not your favorite preacher on the radio faith. Your faith. Mark 9:22. Oh, yes, the guy with the son who was demonized, and he said he's often thrown him into the fire. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe. Don't come groveling to me. If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. It's your faith. Are you with me? Immediately the father child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Luke 7:42 said, to the woman with the outer box, the box, remember? She was a prostitute or something. She was in bad place. And then in the end he said, your faith has saved you. And then he said again to the blind man, your faith has made you well. And I want you to see this, folks. One day, as the Bible says, we all will give account of ourselves before God. One day you're going to stand before him. And he'll say, why? And you'll say, because. No, your spouse will not be standing there. Your parents won't be standing there. Your pastor won't be standing there. You'll be standing there all on your own. And your faith will be the issue. And in the meantime, everything we don't have is because of our unbelief, not God's inability. So, Father, I just want to thank you and bless you and give you glory. And, Lord, I hope I said something. I know I said something today. I am confident I said something today will help those who believed it. So, Father, I thank you that the doubt and the unbelief of people will not change the promises or the faithfulness of God. Let's all stand together and make one more promise. Let's all say, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe that I have faith. And I believe that you want to help me, spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that your promises are yes and amen. I thank you, Father, that I have faith and I will build my faith. And I will read the word. And I will feed my spirit. And I will edify myself. And I will stop blaming other people. I will stand on my own feet. And I thank you for the gift of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.